All right. If you have your Bible there with you, if you'll open up with me to the New Testament, to the book of Romans, and we're going to be in Romans chapter 11 tonight. Romans chapter 11, we're going to begin reading down in verse 25 here in just a few moments. And let me just say that we're dealing with an important subject tonight, but it is a subject that is not often preached on. And I must confess, it's one that I haven't preached on in quite some time. We have preached on it. We have looked at this subject before. But it has been a little while here at Ball Road Baptist Church since we have looked at it. And you know what was amazing to me is that as I was studying for this message, as the Lord laid it on my heart, sometimes you have messages where, you know, the Lord lays a verse or lays a passage on your heart and you have a little bit of a struggle finding other scriptures to kind of go and back it and support it. That wasn't the case with this one tonight. As a matter of fact, as I studied on this subject we're about to look at, I found so much I had to start kind of weeding some of them out. I couldn't say everything possibly that needed to be said. And that goes to show that this is something that is found not just in one verse, not just in one passage, but is found all throughout the Word of God. And so I want you to look here with me, Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse number 25, the Bible says this, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, so much for your blessing, not only in my life and not only in our church, but in this nation that you've given us, Lord. And Lord, may we not take for granted the freedom that we have to meet together tonight. Lord, if we're not careful, I've found, Lord, in this old flesh, it's easy for us just to get used to being able to come to church, to get used to being able to openly read the Word of God and preach this precious book. But Lord, may we not take that for granted tonight. Lord, may we come rejoicing and excited about getting into the Word of God. Lord, I pray you'd help me tonight. That Lord, I wouldn't preach in my own power or with my own authority, but that Lord, I might preach what thus saith the Lord with the power of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, bless us now. Draw us into your presence. Teach us and guide us through the Word of God this evening. For we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for His sake we ask it. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to ask you to turn there tonight, but if you were to go back to the book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible, you would find there the creation of mankind, as I'm sure most of you are familiar. You would not find that man was created through a big bang or through evolution, but you would find that man was created by God Almighty. By the way, he was not created by the gods of this world. He was not created by any made-up God. He was created by the true and living God in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. God took that dust of the ground, and the Bible said he took of it, and he created a man, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Of course, we know that man to be Adam. A little while later, God took Adam and caused him to fall into a deep sleep. And as Adam lay there, God reached in and took out one of his ribs. And from that rib, God fashioned the first woman by the name of Eve. And you could say at that time there in the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve were truly God's earthly people. They were the only ones. They were created directly by God Almighty. And yet you and I, we know how the story ends, don't we? We know what happened. They took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and when they took of that fruit, the Bible said that they died spiritually. They fell out of fellowship with God, and they could no longer be called the people of God. Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, and yet they began to spread and to multiply. They began to have children, and their children began to have children, and those children began to have children, and so on and so forth, till the world was populated with millions of people. And yet you could look across all those millions, and though there were a few that walked with God like Enoch and Noah, though there were a few that knew the Lord and followed the Lord, the vast majority of mankind could not be said to be the people of God. And yet a little while later in the book of Genesis, something strange happened. See, one day there was just one little man. Didn't seem to be much. I mean, he wasn't anything special. He wasn't any better looking or any smarter or anything or any more spiritual for that matter. He was a man by the name of Abram. And the Bible said while Abram was over in Ur of the Chaldees, over toward the land of Babylon or the land of Iraq and Iran today, the Bible said that God found a man by the name of Abram over there, and he called him to be his own. He called him to be the father of a great nation that would be the apple of God's eye. God said to Abraham, whose name he later changed to Abraham, and he told him, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And yet the truth is, not all of Abraham's children could be called the people of God. You see, Abraham had one son named Ishmael. He wasn't included. Abraham had other children that were born from his second wife, Keturah, and yet they are not included. No, God said that through Isaac the promise would be given, and God caused Isaac to bring forth his people. And yet you say, well then, preacher, are God's people only the descendants of Abraham and Isaac? Well, no, you can't stop there either. Because you see, Isaac had some children too. He had an older boy by the name of Esau, and the younger by the name of Jacob. And yet the Bible said that the Lord looked down and said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. In other words, what I'm trying to show you tonight is that when God was calling out an earthly people, He did not choose the Chinese people. He did not choose the Japanese people. He did not choose the Irish or the Anglo-Saxons. He did not choose the nations of Africa or the nations of Saudi Arabia or the nations of South America. No, when God was calling out an earthly people, He said they would be the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I say to you today that those people are still God's people to this day. I speak to you tonight of the nation of Israel. I'm talking to you tonight about the Jewish people. And that's what Paul is preaching about here in this passage. He tells us back here in verse number 25, here in Romans chapter 11. He said, For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, in case you don't understand what that's saying, allow me to explain very quickly. What Paul was saying is that a mystery was being revealed to you and I who are saved. And if you want to know what that mystery is, here's what he said. He said it is that Israel has been blinded in part so that Gentiles like you and me could be born again. In other words, God has temporarily set Israel aside so that He might call out a Gentile bride unto Himself. You say, does that mean that Israelites can't be born again? Oh, no. No, sir. No, ma'am. The great truth is that a Jew can be saved just like a Gentile can. Anyone who will come unto Jesus Christ will be saved by God the Father at that very instant. But all He's saying is that He has set aside His earthly people for a time, that He might win some who were not of His earthly people. That's talking about you and me. And the point He makes here is that we should not become wise in our own conceits. We should not become conceited as the Gentile nations because we were never the chosen seed in the first place. And He comes down a little later, about verse number 28, I believe, and He says this, As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. You see, what Paul is describing here under inspiration of the Holy Ghost is the relationship that you and I, as God's spiritual people, as Christians, the relationship that we ought to have with God's earthly people, the Jews. And so tonight, with that thought in mind, I want to preach to you on this subject very quickly: Christians and the Jewish people. Christians and the Jewish people. Now let me just go ahead and say, first and foremost, that I believe we ought to be a blessing to the Jewish people. Amen. I believe we ought to respect Israel. And I believe we ought to promote Israel. I believe that we ought to seek to protect Israel. But more importantly than anything else, I believe that as Christians, as Bible-believing people, we bear the responsibility to be a blessing unto all the Jewish people that live in this world. That's why the Lord told Abraham, "I'll bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee." I don't want the curse of God. Amen. I don't want God's cursing. I want God's blessing on my home. I want God's blessing on my church. I want God's blessing on my nation. And I find a blessing in being good to the Jewish people. But perhaps you sit here tonight and you say, "Well, preacher, why be good to them? I mean, the Jews, they don't believe the gospel like we do. And the Jews are not in favor of going to church like we do. And the Jews, they worship on a different day than we do. And I thought the Jews were lost." Well, you'd be right about that. And yet you say, "Well, preacher, if they're all those things, and if they're so different than we are, then why should we be a blessing to them? Why should we be good to them?" Well, I want to give you a couple of reasons. First of all, I believe we ought to be good to the Jewish people because they gave us the Bible. They gave us the Bible. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand the Lord gave us the Bible. The Bible said all scripture is given by inspiration to God. That book said that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I know it's the Lord that gave it. But do you know which nation He saw fit to use to give us that Bible? He didn't use Europeans. I'm sorry, people. I'm looking at a lot of white faces out here tonight. He did not use our ancestors. He did not use our forefathers. Hey, friend, He didn't use those in far off Asia. He didn't use those down in Africa. He didn't use those over there in Europe. No, when God saw fit to give this book to mankind, you want to know who He used? He used the Jewish people. Over there in Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said, "What profit hath the Jew?" In other words, what good does it do to be a Jew? And this is what he answered. He said, "Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God." That's talking about this Bible. And can I tell you, friend, I'm thankful for them. And I want to be a blessing to them because God used them to give me this precious book. Amen. But not only that, God used them also to bring forth our Savior. Amen. Over there in John chapter 7, the Bible said, "Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David?" You know what that tells me? That tells me God could have used any nation on this earth to bring forth His Son, and yet He chose to make Him one of the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He caused Him to be of the house and lineage of David. In other words, I'm thankful for the Jewish people because they're the chosen ones. They're the ones that God used to bring about our Savior into this world. Hey, that's plenty to be a blessing to them for. Amen. And yet if that was not enough, if it was not enough that they gave us our Bible and that they gave us our Savior, you want to know why I believe in blessing the Jewish people? Because God chose them and He told me to. I know I've quoted it to you a few times tonight, but I'm going to quote it again. It wasn't Abraham that said, "I'll bless them." Amen. Hey, it wasn't Abraham that said that God would bless them. No, God spoke to Abraham, and God said, "I'll bless those that bless your seed, and I will curse those who curse your seed." Can I just tell you tonight, if I didn't have any other reason to be a blessing to the Jewish people, if I did not have any other reason to respect the nation of Israel and to promote it, can I say tonight, we ought to do it because God told us to, and God chose them. Now maybe you're sitting here though and you say, "Well, preacher, I understand we ought to be a blessing to them. I understand we ought to help them and all those things, but look, but preacher, what do we do to be a blessing and a help to Israel?" Well, I want to give you three things real quick and I'm done tonight. I believe the first thing we can do to be a blessing to the Jewish people is to pray for them. over in Psalm 122 and verse 6, the Bible said, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." Now, can I ask you something? Do you want to prosper tonight? Listen, I'm not preaching a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Don't y'all get me wrong. I'm not talking about getting rich quick or anything like that. But let me just ask you a question. Do you want to have a prosperous life? Then I'll tell you one way. God has promised you to get a prosperous life. You want to know what it is? He said, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." Now, you know what stands out about that to me, Brother Denver? Can I tell you real quick? What amazes me about that is how much we take that verse for granted. You see, if you went back to the first century, back when those early Christians were preaching, it would have been real hard to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You want to know why? Because Jerusalem wasn't even their capital. I mean, yes, the Jewish people were there. Yes, they lived in the land of Judea. But you know what they were? They were a Roman province. They couldn't claim Jerusalem as the place of worship. They couldn't claim Jerusalem as the place of God's presence anymore. Amen. It was gone. The Romans had taken that thing over. If you went to the year 500 A.D. or you went to the year 1000 A.D. as a believer, you couldn't pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You say, why? Well, there was always a remnant of Jews there. And yet by that time, it had been fought over. You'd had some crusades coming through there just a little while later. And I'm telling you what, you could not have said that it was entirely the capital for the Jews. You go to 1500 or even 1900 A.D., and though you would find a remnant there, most of the Jews in the world had moved to places like Germany and had moved to places like England and America and South America and all over the world. They had been dispersed across the earth. And yet back in 1948, can I say God, He fulfilled what He said He would do in His Word. He fulfilled His promise and He brought back a nation that appeared to be dead and He brought it back to life. He took a nation that seemed as though it had been wiped out and He brought it back into existence. And you and I have a privilege today that many a believer never had, that when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we are praying for the capital of where God's people live. They're back in the land. The Israelites are right where God said they would wind up all those many years ago in His Word. Can I say tonight, we have the blessing and the privilege to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I believe we ought to pray for them. Amen. We ought to pray. Listen, you got a coworker who's doing, you ought to pray, God bless them. God be good to them. God get the gospel to them. God, let me tell them about you. Let me tell them about your son. Lord, help them to get saved. I believe we ought to pray for the Jewish people. I believe we ought to pray for the nation of Israel. I believe we ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I believe one of the great ways we can be a blessing to God's earthly people is to pray for them. But not only that, I believe we can also be a blessing to the Jewish people, not just when we pray for them, but when we preach to them. Now, can I go ahead and just make a quick disclaimer before I go on there any longer? Let me just say this. They won't consider it a blessing when you preach to them. That's what Paul was saying right here in our text. When he said, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. You know what he was saying? He was saying the Jews aren't going to help you on your mission trip. And by the way, you all got to be real careful not to go too far on this thing. Old John Hagee, listen, I know some of y'all like to listen to him on the TV, but that's one of the things old John Hagee's mixed up on. Y'all know who I'm talking about? Some of you know. Old John Hagee, he teaches that if a person was born Jewish, just by way of them being born Jewish, they don't need to believe on Jesus Christ to be saved. Can I say that is heresy? That is foreign from the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul said, I was born an Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, of the strictest sect of the law, of the Pharisees. And yet he said, all those things I count but loss that I may win Christ. He said, I needed to be saved though I was a Jew. Amen. And yet there's a group out there that would try to say, well, just by way of the fact that they're God's earthly people and we're God's spiritual people, then we're all just brothers and sisters. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible said they're enemies for the gospel's sake. What does that mean? That means they tried to run Paul out of Jerusalem. That means they hunted him down, tried to have him killed on countless occasions because they didn't like him preaching to them. By the way, that means still to this day, that rabbi, he ain't a Christian. He's preaching a false god, and he's preaching the God of the Bible in a false way.
Amen. There ain't no synagogue in that Bible. There ain't no preaching to go down to the synagogue. They said go to the temple. That's why this ain't in the message tonight, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Every Jew I've ever witnessed to, I asked him, say, are you a good Jew? Oh, yeah, I keep the law. I said, you don't keep that law. You're lying. What do you mean I'm lying? I'll tell you how you're lying. You can't keep the law. No Jew on this earth can keep the law today. You say, why? He has to be in Jerusalem to keep the law.
Amen.
He has to have a temple to keep the law. He has to have a priest to keep the law. And he has none of those things. That ain't the... Y'all just bear with me. We're teaching and preaching tonight. But I'm getting somewhere with this. What I'm saying is Paul said right there, they're enemies for the gospel's sake. He was making the point that the Jewish people, they may not seem like much of a blessing to you. They might not act like they're much of a blessing to you, but you've still got to be a blessing to them. Amen. He said they are enemies for the gospel's sake. They're not going to help you preach. They're not going to appreciate what you preach. They're not going to go to your church. They're not going to like your message. They're not going to like your Savior. And yet he said they are beloved for the Father's sakes. In other words, God still loves them. God still protects them. God's still blessing them. And we ought to as well. You say, what's one of the greatest ways I can bless them? Let me tell you, you can preach the gospel to them. They may not consider it a blessing. They may not like it very much. But we ought to take the gospel both to the Jew and to the Greek. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, both to the Jew and to the Greek. He said in Romans chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And God help us to be that, for that to be our prayer as well. God help us to have that same mindset as well. Lord, save the Jewish people. I believe we ought to be a blessing by praying for them. I believe we can be a blessing by preaching to them. But I want to say this lastly, and I'm done. I believe we can be a blessing by promoting them. So what do you mean to promote them? Well, I know this is about the fifth or sixth time I've quoted it, but I'm going to say it one last time. He said, I will bless him that blesseth thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. You know what that means in its greatest context? That means you lift them up. We support them. We not only pray for them and preach to them, but we don't listen to others as they talk down about them. Can I be honest with you? One of the scariest things I've seen come out in this election, I know the left for a long time has been anti-Israel. Amen. Listen, old Jimmy Carter, old Jimmy and Rosalind, y'all know who I'm talking about. Old Jimmy Carter had been running down the Israelites and the Jewish people since he got out of office and a little while before he got out of office. He's been over there criticizing them for building houses on their own land with their own machines amongst their own people. Every time they try to build a house, he's been, oh, the poor Palestinian, the poor Palestinian. Listen, not one out of 100 of those Palestinian so-called refugees ever had a relative that lived on that land a day in their life. That's a political, some of y'all sitting here, preacher, what are you talking about? Get in there, read a little bit, study a little bit. It's a political story that you've been told by the media. There ain't no such thing as a Palestinian refugee. There's Israel. There's Judea. It's their land. God gave it to them. And listen, they won it because the Arabs attacked them. They didn't go attack anybody. The Arabs attacked. I don't know what, some of y'all ain't getting it tonight, but I'm trying to help y'all out a little bit. I've known for a long time that the left in our nation has been opposed to the Jewish people. There has been a rising tide of anti-Semitism going on amongst the Democratic Party and the left for many decades now. Can I tell you, though, one of the most fearful things I've seen throughout this election process? There's a group on the right. There's a group on the right. There's a portion on the right who are rising with all these conspiracy theories. Well, the Jews... The Jews are running the banks. The Jews are running the government. The Jews are running the world. The Jews are got a conspiracy going against the rest of us. You want to know what that stuff comes from? Stuff comes from about the same thing. That's the same thing got old Hitler back there. That's the same kind of sentiment that got a hold of those Nazis back there in Germany that tried to exterminate about 6 million of them. That's going on in our nation today, on the right and on the left. You're seeing it. Can I tell you something? We as God's people, we as Christians. I know some of y'all sitting here going, preacher, you're getting a little political. No, this is Bible. We as Christians, we must pray and we must work and we must promote the Israeli people within our nation so that we as a nation will be a blessing to Israel. Can I just tell y'all one thing? I'm about done today. Some of y'all know me better than others. Some of you, we've talked about this sort of thing better than others. And I'm not going to get political. I'll just say this. I'm not the biggest Trump supporter there is. Some of y'all, you bigger fans of him, yeah, that's fine. It's free country. I kind of equally criticize him and old Hillary Clinton. But I will say one thing. He said he's going to move our capital, or he's going to move our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Israel has stated it as their capital. It has been, listen, if the nation says it's their capital, it is their capital. Amen. And yet we've never formally recognized that as a nation. We're too scared of the United Nations. We're too scared of the Palestinians. But I like one thing he said. He said, when I get in office, we're moving that embassy from up there in Tel Aviv. We're putting it down in Jerusalem. Can I tell you, that'd be a blessing. That wouldn't just be a blessing to this preacher's soul. That'd be a blessing to God's people. To finally have a major nation recognize that we are a sovereign nation with a sovereign capital, and to recognize, I hope we do it. I believe God will bless us for it as a nation. But I'm telling you tonight, friend, no matter what the rest of this nation does, no matter what anyone else says, don't ever let them sway you. We need to pray for the Jewish people. We need to preach to the Jewish people. And we need to promote the Jewish people as Christians. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word tonight. I pray now, Lord, you'll take this message, use it for thy glory and honor. Use it to help us to understand our relationship with your earthly nation. And Lord, I pray that we as your people would be a blessing to the earthly people, the Jewish people. And oh Lord, we might not be a curse to them. For we ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Amen. Amen.